Welcome to the Liquid Church Podcast, a place where you can hear the timeless truth of God's Word in a way that's culturally relevant and cutting edge. We hope you'll discover how God's story relates to your own and that you will leave feeling encouraged. Thanks for joining us today and enjoy the message.
Well, happy Palm Sunday, church. So great to see you guys. Hey, you got your palms waving in the air like you just don't care. Yeah, hey, let's give a big Holy Week welcome to Church Online, all of our live locations, Princeton, Passaic, Mountainside, Garwood, Somerset, what's up, Middlesex. Happy Palm Sunday, church. I'm Pastor Tim, and today marks Palm Sunday, which is really the kickoff of Holy Week. In fact, did you know, right now, as we are gathering, Christians, followers of Christ from all over the world are pouring into Jerusalem, the capital city of Israel. Let me show you what it looks like. Thousands of pilgrims gather from around the world to commemorate the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Last spring, Colleen and I took a group from our church to Jerusalem, and we walked down this road on the Mount of Olives. This is the exact road that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And every year, followers of the way from all over the world, they join in this Palm Sunday procession. And as we go down the road, we sing praise chorus. We say, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. It means God saves. So I want you to do this at all our live occasions. Wave your branch and shout with me, Hosanna. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. It really is a victory parade. It's the people were saying, our King is here, our Savior has come. And it was a royal celebration because Jesus was fulfilling the Old Testament prophecy of Zechariah. Zechariah prophesied, he said, shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He's righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. And so everyone in Jerusalem would have known that prophecy, predicting the long-awaited king. He was going to ride in Jerusalem, not on a white stallion like a conquering military king, but on a humble donkey. And so Jesus was sending a signal. I am your long-awaited Messiah, promised by the prophets. Messiah just meant the chosen one, the Savior handpicked by God, not just to save his people Israel, but to save the whole world through his sacrifice on the cross. Amen? Now, Palm Sunday kicks off Holy Week, which commemorates the last 7 days of Jesus' life as our Lord and Savior prepared to go to a cross to lay down his life as a sacrifice for sin, out of love for me, for you, so we could be forgiven, redeemed, and receive eternal life with God. This Friday is Good Friday. Can you say Good Friday? Good Friday. It is a holiday or a holy day where we remember the crucifixion of Jesus and his death at Golgotha, the place of the skull. And I want to let you know that we're going to commemorate this as a church. Last year, my wife Colleen said, you know, what are we doing for Good Friday? I said, hey, let's do the usual. Let's watch The Passion of the Christ, which was a little bit of a tradition in our house. Have anybody seen The Passion, the Mel Gibson movie? Okay, heads up, it's very bloody, pretty brutal, but it's also very powerful because you see the trials and the torture and ridicule that Jesus endured on his journey to the cross. And I just always like to watch The Passion once a year, typically on Good Friday, because you know why? Can I just tell you? As a longtime Christian, even as a pastor, my heart needs a reminder that these aren't just stories we read or what we teach from the Bible. That Jesus lived a historical life in the real world and he gave himself for me out of love. And this movie just connects my heart viscerally with that, and it just gets my heart and mind in the right place for Easter. So Colleen said, hey, let's invite our friends to watch The Passion with us. So last year we held our first church-wide screening at our broadcast campus in Parsippany, and you guys packed the place out. So this Friday, we're gonna do it again, only we're doing it in 4 campuses, okay? So this Friday, I just want to invite you, join us at 7 o'clock in either Parsippany, Passaic, Princeton, or Mountainside, and we'll watch The Passion of the Christ together with your church family. Let you know, this is a very, I'm not even calling it a service, it's just an experience. It's a very simple, stripped-back experience. There's no singing, there's no sermon, and there's no childcare. We do 3 very simple things. We're going to open the Bible and just read word for word The Passion account, then we're going to watch the movie, and then we're going to take communion together like Jesus did with his disciples on the night he was betrayed. So it's going to start at 7 o'clock, go to about 9:30. Just show up, grab a seat. Door's going to open at 6:45, starts at 7. And I just give this as a pastor, just a heads up for parents. Like I said, very brutal, bloody movie. It's actually rated R because it graphically depicts the historical violence of the cross. So it's really not appropriate for kids under 15 or anybody sensitive to that sort of thing. So we're not having childcare, so parents, use your discernment. But Colin, I would love to have you join us on Good Friday. You know, I think, church, there's something really special when we slow down and take time to actually contemplate what Jesus went through, the suffering he endured that makes Easter weekend then so much more special. I can't wait for next Sunday. I can't wait to preach live next week. As you heard, we're hosting Easter services on both Saturday and Sunday at many campuses, and our Liquid Family team is flying a helicopter in to drop 70,000 Easter eggs full of candy for the little ones. You're welcome, parents. It's going to be a lot of fun. So invite everybody you know to our Easter services. I'm planning to preach the paint off the walls. My favorite topic, the hope of Jesus' resurrection. We're going to celebrate an empty tomb, amen? Death couldn't hold Jesus. It won't hold you either. And that's what we're talking about today in the final message of our series, The Way. This morning, you're in for a treat. Pastor Corey Daniels is preaching God's word. And Pastor Corey is our young adults pastor, meaning he leads our porch ministry for 20-somethings. I believe he's a gifted voice for the next generation. So, Liquid, you put your hands together. Give me a big Liquid welcome to Pastor Corey Daniels, my man.
What's up, Liquid? How you doing? Hey, I'm going to give you guys a three-word phrase. I want you to practice this. I want you to commit this to memory. It's very simple. I want you to practice in the mirror, practice in the shower, practice with your dog, your cat, your turtle. I don't care. Practice this phrase. Three words. It's come and see. Everybody say that with me. Come and see. When I first moved to New Jersey years ago, I had friends. They were like, why New Jersey? Stick with me, all right? Don't be judging, all right? They're like, why New Jersey? I was like, hey, listen. They got bagels. They got real pizza. They got diners, all right? They got Taylor ham or pork roll, whatever you call it. Where I'm from, we just had Spam, all right? But over time, I realized, nah, there's a lot more to Jersey than just what they show on the show, The Jersey Shore, right? There's a lot of beauty here. And I ultimately said, hey, guys, come and see. Hey, when Philip told his friend Nathaniel about Jesus, he's like, I found the Messiah. He's in Nazareth. What was his response? He's like, can anything good come from Nazareth? You're like, nah. Come and see. Come and see. You probably know people who are like, church, really? I don't know. Can anything good come from church? Your response is simple. It's come and see. Now you're catching on. Here we go. And they're like, really? I can come to church in sweatpants? I don't need to wear a suit? That's amazing. You're like, yeah, come and see. And they're like, hold on a second. You're doing a helicopter egg drop? Is that even legal? Like, what does 75,000 eggs look like? You're like, you're going to want to come and see. And finally, they're like, okay, what's the name of the church? You're like, Liquid Church. They're like, Liquid Church? Sounds like a cult. Are you okay? Are you in danger? Blink three times if you need me to call somebody for you. Do not blink. And you say, come and see. Everybody turn to your neighbor, say, come and see. Now turn to your second choice and say, don't make it weird. That's right. Introverts all over New Jersey just disappeared in these seats. That's amazing. Hey guys, I got to tell you, I am loving reading through the Gospels this Lent. Who's been loving this resource? Let's hear it for our digital team. It's been amazing, y'all. Pastor Keon's got this silky smooth voice, man. Pastor Keon, you could narrate how to fix a dishwasher and I would be like, I receive it, Lord. Pastor Kyra, man, you got me rolling my R's. I'm going up to my wife. I'm like, what's up, baby? And she's like, you got to stop it. It's out of control. But this week in Read the Gospels, everybody, I got a story from Luke chapter 19. You're going to hear it this week. It's amazing. It's a story about a man named Zacchaeus. And it's an unforgettable encounter that he has with Jesus, an invitation that changes his life, an invitation to come and see. Let's open up our Bible apps to Luke chapter 19. We're going to start right in verse 1, and it says this. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. If this story is new to you, what you need to know about Zacchaeus is he was a Jew who was collecting taxes for the Roman government. And the Romans were oppressing the Jews. So Zacchaeus was like lower than scum, right? He's collecting taxes from his own people. He's raising those taxes so he can skim off the top and send whatever's left back to Rome. And this is a really relevant scripture for today. So a friendly reminder, get your taxes done. If my wife is listening, babe, can you please do the taxes for me? Thank you. So on his LinkedIn profile, you all know that we're really good at like fibbing what that is, right? It would have said chief tax collector, but in reality, we can read between those lines and we know that he's really a dirty, lying, cheating, thieving, double-crossing, son of a motherless dog. Yeah, he's a traitor. Nobody likes Zacchaeus. Man, he's a social outcast. He didn't have friends. His family shunned him. He wouldn't have been welcomed in synagogue, y'all. He wouldn't have been welcomed at church. But look at verse 3. It says he wanted to see who Jesus was. He wanted to see. He was at least a little bit curious, y'all. I'm willing to bet that he had heard just enough about Jesus. In fact, he heard that Jesus had a disciple. If you were here for week one of the way, Jesus calls Matthew, who was a Jew and a tax collector, and I'm willing to bet Zacchaeus wanted to see it for himself. He heard just enough about Jesus that he couldn't pass up on the opportunity to get a glimpse of this radical traveling teacher who hung out with sinners and outcasts, just like Zacchaeus, right? It's all too good to be true. But scripture goes on and it says, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. The Gen Z Bible says he was a short king. Come on. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Now, if you've ever wondered what a sycamore fig tree looks like, check this out. And this is important, because if we go back to the Old Testament, to the first book of the Bible in Genesis, we actually see in the creation account that the fig leaf has a really interesting connection to this story. So I want you to highlight Luke chapter 19 and then scroll all the way back up to Genesis. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 3. And we read about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And after they eat from the fruit of the knowledge, or from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it says in verse 7 that at that moment their eyes were opened. And suddenly they felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed, fig leaves together to cover themselves. Y'all, Adam and Eve have fruit juice dripping down their chin, and their eyes are open. They're like, oh, crap, I am naked, which is everybody's first nightmare, right? And what we learn from this story is that where there's sin, there's shame. And where there's shame, there's the human instinct to hide, right? It's a fight or flight mentality, and it's within most of us. And the reality is when we're faced with those two options, we commonly choose the second. We commonly choose flight. We choose to hide. And that's exactly what Adam and Eve do. Scripture goes on. It says that they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. And when the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God who was walking about in the garden. And it says, so they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Adam and Eve hid in shame from God. They covered themselves with fig leaves and they hid among the trees. Now, let's go back to the future, to the New Testament, Luke 19. Who does that remind you of? My man Zacchaeus. That's right. Zacchaeus also hid in a sycamore fig tree. What's my point? Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus without being seen by Jesus. Y'all, he was curious. But human nature is there and it still told him, hey, you're probably going to want to hide. See, Zacchaeus knew that he'd done wrong. He'd sinned. He knew he wasn't a good dude, and he knew a lot of people hated him. But I'll bet you he also wasn't 100% sure what he believed about Jesus either. And if you don't know Jesus yet personally, I got to tell you, the instinct to hide makes sense. I completely understand it. Maybe you're sitting here today, and you completely relate to Zacchaeus. You're like, listen, I've had a difficult past. I've done things where I've done wrong, or wrong things have been done to me, and you're like, it's really hard for me to come and see if you're not sure you're going to be welcomed. Or maybe you're intrigued by Jesus. You're like, man, I think I'm sure. I think I'm unsure. My brain cannot comprehend his love. Why? Because his love defies human logic, y'all. So it doesn't make sense. And you always fear what you don't understand. So how can you come and see? I get it. If you're not even sure you're capable of belief. Zacchaeus wanted to see, but he didn't want to be seen. And all that changes when Jesus does something that nobody expects. Scripture goes on, and it says, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up to him and said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once, and he welcomed him gladly. Don't miss this detail, y'all. This may have been the first time that Zacchaeus heard his real name. First time in 15, 20 years. He was used to hearing thief. He was used to hearing traitor. He was used to hearing trash. You could insert plenty of other colorful words, and don't know you don't know what they are, New Jersey. I've been to MetLife Stadium, especially when the Eagles are here. Shout out Mercer, we love you, we just don't like the Eagles. But the reality is, y'all, Jesus does the exact opposite of what our innate human nature would tell us to do. He calls Zacchaeus by his real name. And do you know what the name Zacchaeus means? Oh, this is so good. Zacchaeus means pure and innocent, not trash and traitor. So Jesus walks up to the most crooked man in town. Think about this. Picture this for a second. He stands at the base of the tree. He stops in his tracks. He looks up. He looks in Zacchaeus in the eyes. He calls him by name. He says, Zacchaeus, pure, innocent, Zacchaeus, come down. Jesus says, I see you not for what you've done, but I see you for what you can become. And somebody needs to hear this today. If you identify with Zacchaeus, Jesus doesn't fixate on your past. He focuses on your potential. Not enough amens. Come on, guys. Jesus does not fixate on your past. He focuses on your potential. When Jesus sees sin, he doesn't shy away. He doesn't throw his hands up and say, no, I can't hang out with that. What does he do? He knows that human nature is in us to hide. And he says, all right, I'm going to lean in. I'm going to meet you in that gap. And that's what Jesus does with Zacchaeus. He calls him by name. He invites him to come closer. And based on everything that I know to be true about Jesus, the reality is this, y'all. Zacchaeus didn't need to come down from that tree for Jesus to change his heart. Jesus could have done it with him up there. But he's being really intentional when he says in verse 5, he says, come down immediately. Immediately, y'all. There's urgency in this invitation. Jesus doesn't say, Zacchaeus, why don't you just come down when you're good and ready? Zacchaeus, why don't you stop stealing money from people and then you and I can hang out, right? No. Jesus doesn't put a caveat before the invitation. He simply says, come down immediately. Immediately, and he invites himself over to Zacchaeus' house, which is a bold move in and of itself. I don't invite myself over to my parents' house. Jesus is like, yo, I'm coming over for food. Here we go. So imagine Zacchaeus comes down from the tree. He's like, this is amazing. Crap, I need to call my wife. One second, Jesus. Hey, babe. So fun story. Remember Jesus? Yeah, he's coming over to the house tonight. Yeah, no. I know it's date night. Listen, we can watch Reacher any night. It's okay. Listen, do me a favor. Babe, stop cleaning. Please stop cleaning. It's fine. He's not going to go in the garage. Stop cleaning, babe. Just put out a charcuterie board. Skip the meats. He's Jewish. Just give me the cheese. Bring the good oil. All right, everything's going to be fine. But, babe, I'm going to order from Anthony Franco's. Please stop cleaning. We'll be home in 5 minutes. I love you. Okay, boo-boo. Imagine that, right? That's my situation. I don't know about you. I just saw some men like shrink in their seats because they're like, yeah, I've been there before, 100%. But because Jesus calls Zacchaeus down from that tree immediately, and then he invites himself over to Zacchaeus' house immediately. I need you to hear this, y'all. Jesus doesn't want a fabricated version of what you think is a perfect life. He just wants to heal your broken heart, and he wants to do it immediately. When you see that Jesus is, in fact, as good as advertised, then you respond like Zacchaeus. Look in verse 6. It says this. He welcomed him gladly. I want you to imagine just the freedom that he must have felt in this moment. This is the first time he heard his real name spoken without condemnation. This is the first time somebody looked at him and saw him for who he really was, and still called him closer, still welcomed him this. But you know what the reality is the people in the crowd, the people of Jericho, they didn't understand this. Because watch what happens next. And it says, all the people saw this. Jericho's not happy. And they began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. A sinner. You know, the crowd probably expected Zacchaeus to deny the invitation, right? But he accepts it. He buddies up with Jesus. And that just triggers the crowd more, y'all. Remember fight or flight? What do they choose? Fight. They choose fighting words. When Jesus chose the one that they considered unworthy, what did they do? They chose anger. They chose judgment, resentment. They don't believe that Zacchaeus is actually worthy of Jesus. So my question for you is this: how would you actually respond if Jesus chose a sinner like Zacchaeus over you? But let's not judge too harshly, right? I have to confess, y'all, I've been here before. I've fallen into this trap time and time again. I'm just being real. Let me be authentic with you for a second. My own heart posture has not consistently been what Jesus would teach us when we're supposed to interact with a lost son or daughter. I used to work in a bar in my hometown in Pennsylvania. And I don't remember being super outspoken in my faith at this point in my life, but news got out and they started calling me Bible Boy. I was from central Pennsylvania. Everybody sounds like a redneck there. They're like, hey, Bible Boy, get over here. I can say that because I'm from Pennsylvania. But the reality is, y'all, on multiple occasions, this one guy, man, he was a dishwasher. And he came up, and I have this, like, armload of dishes. And, they're literally falling over. And I'm trying to do my job and just take the dishes to the dishwasher. Simple enough, right? But this dude takes the high-powered hose. You know what I'm talking about? The one with the springs that, like, it's crazy. He pulls it down, and he sprays me in the face. And he's like, hey, Bible Boy, you need to be baptized. If you've been around for a while, y'all, or if you're going to be here in a couple weeks, you know that's not how baptism works. And you also know that the last person you want to baptize you is somebody who smells like old barbecue sauce and marijuana. And I'll tell you what, man, this guy had an older brother who also worked at the bar. And the two of them together were a real joy to be around. And at one point, the two of them went out into the alley they were smoking, and I was bringing trash out to the dumpster. So I got this massive bag of trash over my shoulder. And did you know that trash bags are flammable? I didn't know that. The older brother whips out his lighter and sets the trash bag on fire. They turned me into a literal walking dumpster fire. In that moment, it was like trash exploded all over the alley. And they walk back inside laughing. I have to pick up this trash, bar trash, which is worse than normal trash. I don't know if you guys know that. I'm covered in this stuff. I'm throwing it in the dumpster. I go back inside. I'm like, I'm not getting any more tips tonight. Nobody gives tips to somebody who smells like that. And the reality is I came back inside and these two guys were telling everybody what they did. And everybody's laughing. They're like, this is the funniest thing in the world. And I felt my blood. Oh, my vein, I had, you know, you got the vein that like pops out of your neck and everything. My fists are clenched. I grind my teeth on a normal day. I was like dislocating my jaw in anger. And I walk up to those guys and I realize I can't take them because it's not a one-on-one fight. And the Lord did not bless me with the gift of intimidation. But you know what? I looked at those guys and can I be honest for a second? I'm just going to be real, okay? I looked at them, and when I realized that I couldn't fight them, I was like, what if they just drop dead? And I know that's bad. I get it. Like, trust me. But in the moment, I called it righteous anger. Have you been there before? Are any of us actually worthy of Jesus? Is it righteous anger for the crowd in that moment? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But can I get in your business just for a quick second? When was the last time that you looked at someone and you saw them for their mess, or you saw them for their sin and you saw them as a problem, rather than a human with a name made in the image of God? When was the last time that you misrepresented Jesus? Same bar, same job. One of my other coworkers came up and she straight up asked me, hey, where do you go to church? Like, just like that. No judgment. Where do you go to church? You know what I told her? You wouldn't know it even if I told you. That's not how we do this. That's misrepresenting Jesus in that moment. She set me up for a conversation and I completely dropped the ball. Why? Because I didn't want to sit next to her in church. I didn't want to be seen with her. When was the last time that you talked to somebody and you didn't want it to be awkward, but a door was opened where you could share your faith, you could share Jesus with someone, but you shied away because you're like, I don't know how this is going to go, and I would rather just avoid the awkwardness altogether. I think we can forget what's at stake here. Because guys, yeah, I was raised in church, but I owe my soul to my college roommate, Dan. Man, he relentlessly pursued me. I was 18, 19 years old. I was this close to walking away from this faith. And he said, no, you know what? Come and see. Come and see. Eternity is at stake, you guys. Souls are at stake. Lives can be transformed by Christ. When we say make heaven crowded, we don't say with perfect people. We say make heaven crowded with imperfect people. Why? Because what people think about us doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is what Jesus thinks about us. And in the story of Zacchaeus, the crowd knew his name, but called him by his sin. Jesus knew his sin, but called him by his name. Zacchaeus is so changed by this encounter that he does a complete 180. Let's look at how this story ends. It says, but Zacchaeus stood up and said, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay it back four times the amount. And Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. I love Zacchaeus' response. Right, he immediately repents. He's like, yeah, I've got this sin in my life and I'm going to turn from it. He turns from his sin. He repents. Why? Because calling someone by name gives them dignity. Calling someone by their sin portrays disgrace. So dignity or disgrace? Come on, be honest. Which one's going to point you to Jesus? Dignity or disgrace? Which one's going to trigger that fight or flight mentality? See, it's the dignity that Jesus shows Zacchaeus that led to his heart change. So wherever you are in your faith, I gotta be honest, I know some of you, you might be here and you're like, hey, I'm a Christian, but I like to say sometimes we're seasoned by life. Or maybe you're here and you're like, I would be the first person to run in the opposite direction when I hear Jesus is coming. Maybe you're here and you're a single parent and you're like, man, I can't do it anymore. I'm at the edge of my rope. I've got nothing left to give. Or maybe you're an empty nester and you're like, what is my purpose? What do I do now? Can I talk to the teenagers for a quick second? Some of you know me. I understand that some of you might feel lost. Some of you feel lonely. You feel like nobody knows you. Nobody cares. I know that pain is real and I'm sorry. If you're in this room and you're an addict and you're just fighting off relapse after relapse after relapse and you're so burnt out on that. Or maybe you're in here and you're a widow and you're like, hey guys, I got out of bed. That was the greatest challenge of all this week. I want you to know, this is for everybody in this room, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you believe about Jesus, you are never too lost, y'all. You're never too lost. And even if you think you're too lost, he's never going to stop seeking you anyway. Jesus is inviting you today to meet with him, just like Zacchaeus. He wants you to come down from that tree. He wants you to come out of hiding. He wants you to stop from where you're at. He wants you to look at him, and he's saying, hey, son, daughter, I see you not for your past, but I see you for your potential in the future. He said, I want you to come down. I'm calling you by name. I see you for who you are. And that very last sentence in this story is actually really interesting. I used to think that this was like Jesus talking to Zacchaeus, and he ended the passage by like, and they all lived happily ever after. No, I think this last statement is specifically for us if we were to follow the way of Jesus. Look in verse 10. It says, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Jesus says, hey guys, I came to seek. I came to seek, not to sit back, not to wait, not to be like, oh, I hope they come and find me. No. He came to seek the lost, not to be passive. That's why Jesus told his disciples this parable in Matthew 18. It says, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, you guys know this one, right? What will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others on the hills and go out to search for the one that is lost? Sometimes to follow the way of Jesus means we have to go out of our way. We have to leave the 99 to seek just that one lost sheep. And I don't mean to brag or anything, but I do have a little bit of real life shepherding experience. I was famous for about 20 seconds back on Christmas Eve. Some of you are like, he did look familiar. Yeah, I herded two sheep onto the stage, Libby and Sadie. And I'll be honest, I spent like 11 hours with these sheep. We had a real connection. I was their shepherd, y'all. They knew my voice. Boy, it was empowering. But at one point, one of the sheep, Libby, got loose, and she bolted for the Liquid family rooms. Right backstage here in Parsippany. You didn't know that, did you? It was absolute chaos. The panic sunk in because I realized, like, oh my gosh. Like, it's the busiest Sunday that we've ever had. We have record number kids in Liquid family. This almost 300-pound sheep is bolting Forrest Gump style down the hallway and rage pooping as she goes. Yeah, rage pooping. I said it. Some of you just woke up for the first time today. Rage pooping. That happened. And the craziest thing about this whole story, yo, the security team, you've seen them on the hoverboards. They were doing their, like, Paul Blart mall cop, like, scooping the poop as they went. And I'm chasing after this sheep, like, come back. And in that moment, I got to be honest with you, my human response was, this is not in my job description. But my second thought was from the Lord, and I love how that usually happens, but the Holy Spirit said to me this, you're right, it's not your job. It's your mission. It's not your job to chase a wanderer. It's your mission. It's not your job to chase somebody who doesn't know Jesus. It is, in fact, your mission. Jesus modeled this for us. And how do we do it? We follow Jesus' example. We follow the way of Jesus in this. And he showed us this with one word. Don't overcomplicate it. Relationships. It's not a buzzword, guys. It's not a buzzword. Jesus modeled real, raw, sacrificial, radically authentic, tradition-shattering relationships. The kind of relationships that tick people off. And recently I had the opportunity to connect with some of our friends from The Porch. If you don't know The Porch, as our young adult ministry here at Liquid, I have the enormous privilege of hosting once-a-month events for young adults at all of our campuses. They come together to connect. And Preston and Nessa are two of those young adults who come regularly. And they were actually invited to come to church over and over again, invited to come and see. And it took this consistent invitation before the invitation turned into a yes. Check this out.
Growing up, I always had the religious part of the, you know, aspect of the church, but I never had the relationship part. So even though I believe in God, I never really felt connected. I never really felt his presence. I didn't know if I was living the right way that he wanted me to live. And so because of that, I was kind of just, I guess, pushing him away.
Growing up, I honestly had no background of faith. I was baptized when I was a baby, but it was just more just to do it. Getting into, like, freshman year, problems in my life got harder, and I just didn't know how to handle them. Without faith, I just generally didn't see a purpose, didn't think I'm needed, didn't think I was meant to be born, just like all those like thoughts going through my head. After being invited to church and coming, and when worship came on, I never heard these songs before, but I'm just like reading the lyrics and I just started crying. Anyone will just pray for you if you ask, and like everyone's just here for each other. So many like friendships and connections I formed here. Like, it makes me feel like now like I'm not alone.
The Milsoms had been inviting us for a while, and then when we finally came, it was nothing like I'd ever really experienced before. Since coming to Liquid, I feel like everything is just completely 180. We started to come to The Porch too, and, you know, meet a lot of really nice people who are also very, you know, encouraging. And from that, we also got invited to join a small group. I definitely feel like a lot more connected now. To my friends out there who invited me, I just want to say thank you, you know, especially for being persistent, you know, because I didn't say yes right away, because that persistent love and effort is what really made me give it a try.
Thank you to my friends that invited me to Liquid, because you guys knew what I was going through, and instead of just trying to say it will be better, you guys asked me to come join your church, and you knew it would be the answer. And I just gotta say, it was the answer. And because of you guys, now I'm able to continue that chain. And now I try to invite people that are struggling, and their lives are changing too. So thank you.
Did you guys catch that? It's an invitation that led to another invitation, which can lead to another invitation. It's amazing that God can move in your life in such a way, and the ripple effect of lives changed by Christ, all because of an invitation. An invitation as simple as three words. What is it? Come and see. So my question is this: who's your Zacchaeus? Who's your Preston? Who's your Nessa? Honestly, y'all, who's your future Pastor Corey? Think of the name of that person. And this week, leading up to Easter Sunday, I want you to ask yourself, who are you going to invite to come and see? They don't know Jesus yet, but you know what? They know you. And that's the most powerful thing of all. Here at Liquid, we have a really simple strategy. It's called invest and invite. Don't overthink it. Don't make it weird. Don't overcomplicate it. Keep it simple. It's invest in relationships with unbelieving neighbors like Zacchaeus, like Preston, like Nessa, so you can then invite them to come and see Jesus. You invite them, right? Because you never know the difference that just one invitation can make. Jesus simply called Zacchaeus. He's like, hey, Zacchaeus, I'm coming over to your house, apparently for charcuterie. Nessa had two friends, Ava and Emma, and they invited Nessa and Preston to come and see. And to make this easy for you guys, we have these cards. You may have already seen these. It's your one-stop shop for all Easter information. You can just hand this to people. You can say, hey, come and see. It's got Good Friday details, Easter services on Saturday and Sunday, followed by the egg drop. We're not joking. And a helicopter is going to come down and drop eggs on your kids. It's going to be chaos, but you can't have Christ without chaos. Amen? But the coolest thing, too, is then we have this card for your kids. This is adorable. It's like a little Easter Valentine. Come on. Your son or daughter can personally invite somebody by name. They can write their name in on this card. So here's my question. Who are you inviting to come and see this Easter? And for the record, I'm going to practice what I preach, right? Leah and I are inviting, we have some friends, Joey and Jesse. We've known them for years, but they just moved into our town. We're going to invite them to come and see. My daughter, she just turned 5. She's got a friend from school, Kayla, and she wants to invite her to come and see. And then my 2-year-old, he's got a massive crush on our babysitter, so we're going to have to invite Janae as well. That's 4 names, y'all. 4 names that God has put on my heart. And did you know that behind the wooden planks in the room, underneath the carpet, behind the drywall, there are names too? Like, we have prayerfully written the names of people in our lives who we want to come and see Jesus. And we've done this at every campus that we've ever remodeled. So I just want you to take a minute for a second. Look around where you're at. The space you're in is holy ground. I need you to understand it. Underneath it all are names. Your name could be here. Your name could be underneath the carpet, right underneath your feet, all because of the faithfulness of somebody who prayed for you and invited you because God put your name on their heart. So who is God putting on your heart? Right now, to end our time together, we're going to carry on this tradition at all of our campuses. In a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand up and come forward, because we're going to write down these names. We're going to commit them to God. We're going to put them on the altar. Names like Joey and Jesse. Names like Kayla and Janae. 4 names. Who are the names? Who are you going to invite? I'm going to invite you to stand up. You're going to come forward, and we're going to write down those names. We're going to commit them to God. Why? Because the truth is as powerful and as much as I care about those names, God infinitely loves them more. So really quickly, I'm going to invite you to stand, and I'm going to pray for us. So stand to our feet, everybody, all our campuses, church online, stand to your feet. We're going to activate faith now. We pray this. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. God, we thank you that you called us by name at one point or another, God, that you saw us for who we really are, and you said, no, you have value and you have love. And God, we thank you that in the power of a name that you invited us to come and see. And Lord, I pray now, God, would you activate our faith, that in boldness we would come forward, we would write down these names. And Lord, that this week, our staff is gonna pray for these names, and we're gonna believe in faith that these people are gonna come to church this coming weekend, Easter. God, we just pray an activation of our faith for boldness, and we're believing that you can do more than we can ask or imagine. We thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody stand to your feet, and you're going to come forward. We're going to write down these names, and we're believing that God is bringing them to church.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want to check out Liquid Church for a weekend service, small group, outreach, or clean water trip, you can find out more about us online at liquidchurch.com. And if you enjoyed the podcast, go ahead and subscribe or share it with your friends. Thanks again for listening.